You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, if you're into morel mushrooms, the time is now. Our guest shares advice for how to find them and the best ways to prepare them.
First, in the months since he took the oath of office, President Trump has extended kind words or invitations for in-person meetings to some of the international community's most controversial authoritarian figures, like President Duterte in the Philippines, Russia's Vladimir Putin, and Turkey's President Erdogan.
And recently, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson made clear that human rights and other questions of what he calls values will be taking a backseat in U.S. foreign policy after questions of national security and economic impact are answered first.
This casts doubt on decades of U.S. policy, including human rights as a pole star when it comes to foreign policy.
Rebecca Hamilton is with us now. She is an assistant professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law. She's also worked in the appeals chamber of the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia and has been the deputy director of the Bernstein Institute for Human Rights at NYU School of Law. She's the author of the book Fighting for Darfur, Public Action and the Struggle to Stop Genocide. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Rebecca, how long has the consensus around human rights and democracy as pillars of U.S. foreign policy been in place?
It has been longstanding. It has been articulated in the current language that we think of as human rights, certainly clearly in the post-World War II era. But, you know, the basic core principles of it go back even further. And importantly, it hasn't been a partisan commitment. You have had both Republican and Democratic presidents understanding the value of America standing up for human rights around the world.
And how has that expressed itself, that belief, that stance in human rights over the years? Can you give us a few examples?
Yeah, so it's been in the form of public statements. You can go back to Ronald Reagan, for example, speaking out in favor of Soviet dissidents. And you can move forward from that. So it's been the use of the sort of what gets called the human rights bully pulpit that an American president has. But it is also, it goes beyond language to actions. And certainly we haven't seen a president actively inviting authoritarian leaders to the White House in the way that we've seen recently with President Trump.
Right. There is that example recently, which is part of what sparked this conversation. President Trump has also congratulated Turkey's Erdogan on an election victory, securing more power for the president. He's been on friendly terms with Vladimir Putin. What does this signal to you about the advancement of human rights in the Trump administration?
It's depressing to me, honestly. It suggests that they see human rights as just sort of one among many chips that can be bargained away as might be strategically useful for any short-term transaction, but not as a core principle that should be guiding decisions that the U.S. presidency takes. And as I say, this is a shift from a long-standing approach in U.S. foreign policy across partisan lines.
And we said earlier that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has said that areas like human rights may now take a backseat. They may be secondary to issues of things like national security and economic benefit, that those questions will get answered first. And that is, in a sense, one way to articulate an America First policy. What signal do you think that might send to governments with a problematic human rights record?
Well, it tells them that, you know, the eyes of America are no longer on them in the way that they have been in the past. Now, I'm not to suggest that by America speaking out on human rights, it's always being any, you know, some kind of perfect deterrent. But authoritarian leaders do watch very carefully what happens in Washington. And I've done interviews with leaders, particularly in the Sudanese government, and they pay much closer attention to what comes out of Washington than many people in America do, looking for signals about what they can get away with. And they will push those limits to the extent that they can. So when you have a Secretary of State like Rex Tillerson coming and saying, this is signaling, this is something that we don't prioritize, then they know that they have a free pass in terms of potential atrocities against their own population.
Right now, we're talking with Rebecca Hamilton, Assistant Professor of Law at American University Washington College of Law, and she's with us to talk about where human rights issues stand under the new Trump administration. And Rebecca, are there gains to be made, for instance, by opening lines of communication with authoritarian regimes? Maybe you have that line of communication and you have maybe more influence.
Look, no one is suggesting that there can't sometimes be gains from keeping lines of communication open. And indeed, cutting off lines of communication has always been seen as an absolute last resort. It's always better to have eyes and ears on the ground and that flow open. But it's one thing to have a back channel of communication open. It is another to invite, for example, President el-Sisi to the White House and actively praise him in the face of the human rights abuses that we know are going on in Egypt, for example. So it doesn't have to be an either-or that you either condemn outright and cut off all communication, or you don't. There is some middle ground to be had, but the Trump administration seems to be going to one very far extreme of that.
And what do you think the U.S. might be risking by backing away a bit from that bully pulpit on human rights on the international stage?
I think we're going to see the impact of it unfold over the longer term, because you may send one signal to these authoritarian leaders, but at the same time, you're also sending a signal to the populations that are living under them. If the Arab Spring taught us anything, it's that the dictators of today won't necessarily be the dictators of tomorrow. And so does America want the populations that are living in these areas to have a positive view of America as someone who has stood up for them in times of trouble, or to have a negative view as a country that has really sold them out in the interest of whatever short-term gains the current administration seems to be looking for? And I think ultimately it is it's a false economy to suggest that you can trade off national security for human rights. At the end of the day, these things feed into each other. And it's entirely possible to have the strongest national security policy as being one that is supportive of human rights. And indeed, when we look in terms of winning hearts and minds of populations, particularly where we're concerned about threats of terrorism, then actively supporting human rights is something that bolsters rather than weakens that kind of policy. But I think the Trump administration has shown a general tendency to undervalue the soft power of American foreign policy.
Once moral authority is lost in an area like human rights and the supporting of democracy, how hard might it be to regain?
We'll see, unfortunately. I think we are seeing that moral authority being undermined, and the question will be, with an eventual change of administration, is a new administration going to be able to sort of close the door on this? Or will a new norm have been established? But certainly, it's worrying.
And do you expect other countries to follow suit now that the United States seems to be advancing an America First foreign policy? Do you expect other countries to do the same? And what does that do to longstanding alliances on these fronts?
So I think there's, a risk with the developments that we're seeing in Europe right now in particular, which is also experiencing the surgence of nationalist populist rhetoric and an undervaluing of commitments to human rights. And to the degree that America is leading that charge, we're going to see this reflected, I think, in some of the statements of European politicians as well. But you're also seeing pushback against it. So I think it's too early to say what the overall impact is going to be. But I think what we can say for certain is that authoritarian leaders are watching these developments very closely and will take as much leeway as they're given by the most powerful countries in the world.
Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Rebecca Hamilton is an assistant professor of law at American University Washington College of Law, and she's the author of the book Fighting for Darfur, Public Action and the Struggle to Stop Genocide, with us there to talk us about where human rights issues may stand in the new Trump administration.